Today we begin our studies for the Christmas season, and in this morning and this evening's messages, we have a study in contrast. This morning we're going to be looking at the subject of a beautiful young woman. And I use the word beautiful not necessarily to her outward appearance. Simply put, I don't think anybody knows exactly what Mary looked like physically, but certainly she was a beautiful woman at heart. Tonight, we look at an ugly old man. And I don't know what Herod looked like on the outside, but inwardly he was despicable. This morning, we look at a woman who is of royal pedigree, but never sat in a position of authority. Tonight, we look at a man who sat in a position of authority, but was not of a royal line. This morning we look at a woman whose greatest accomplishment was to bring one child into this world. Tonight we look at a man probably known most for taking thousands of children out of this world. A great study in contrast. The difference? This morning we look at a woman with a humble heart for God. Tonight, we look at a man with a prideful heart for self. That's the difference. I have been preaching vocationally for over 21 years. In that time, I have sought to be faithful to the biblical text. And I do not plan in any way, shape, or form to be unfaithful to it this morning. But this morning I am going to do something in my preaching that I don't think I have ever done before. If I have, it was only once or twice and I don't remember it. I am going to concentrate this morning more on what's not in Scripture than what is. Some of it may come out sounding comical. My intent is not to be a comedian. You may chuckle at my representation of some of the things that are not in Scripture. And I have a feeling that if you chuckle at them, it's not going to be because you say, oh, that's really funny. But it might be a nervous release of saying that's somewhat convicting. Maybe you know a person who it will apply to. Maybe, just maybe, it might be you. I want you to open your Bibles this morning, if you would, to Luke chapter 1. And I want to begin reading at the 26th verse. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And here we're introduced to Mary. Verse 26 states, "And in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary." First thing that I see here, in the way that Mary did not respond, which is not recorded in Scripture, but may I say to you that Mary could have responded had her heart been of a different nature, is this way. The sixth month here, that in verse 6, is the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Elizabeth, the wife of Zechariah, the soon-be mother of John, who was called the Baptist, was a cousin of Mary. I think that it is very, very, very probable that Mary, even though she was separated a little bit in distance from her cousin, knew of her cousin's pregnancy. Knew that God was doing something miraculous and fabulous in the land. And I wonder if she might have had just a little inkling that maybe she could have been involved and what God was going to do. But between the time that God spoke to Elizabeth, 6 months has transpired, and nothing's taken place. And now finally this angel Gabriel comes and greets her. And can you picture somebody saying, well, it's about time you got here. I mean, after all, you started something back then and you're going to do something miraculous and more than likely you have me involved in the thing. Why weren't you here earlier? We've got a lot of work to do. What's been taking you so long? And there's this discourse into how God's timing just isn't according to her plans. Of course, you would never be critical about God's timing on things, would you? But maybe you know somebody who is. We would never say, well, God, wouldn't it be better if you did this sooner? Or God, can't you just hold off? I appreciate your song last week, Patrick, about the holding off till the coming. I appreciate those things. But the fact of the matter is, when can we go to say to God, hold off on these things? But we do. Or God, hurry things up. And I can just picture somebody, it wasn't Mary, but I could picture if it was somebody else saying, what took you so long? God, don't you see me down here? Struggling. Look at who he came to. Came to a woman in the city of Nazareth. About 30 years later, Nathanael is going to say, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Nazareth was not a city that was noted for a lot of good things. And I think Mary was living in an impoverished condition, which she was. She certainly had no financial means to her. She was espoused to a man named Joseph who was a lowly carpenter, and he didn't have much. It wasn't one of those jobs where he was going to be rich and famous and all those kind of things. He wouldn't be able to provide all the luxuries that she desired. And not only that, her name was Mary. Comes from a Hebrew word, Mara. You remember the children of Israel in crossing over the Red Sea came to where the bitter waters were. Mara. And Mary's name literally means bitterness. Lord, I've had this terrible life. It's about time you got here and did something for me. Get me out of this mess. Deliver me from this crazy, mixed up world. Change my conditions because I deserve better than this. Of course, we would never say to God those words, would we? We're too humble to be so proud. But have you ever been in that situation where you're suffering and things aren't going well and it seems like the Lord is taking His good old time and dealing with the issues and, Lord, come on, let's get going here. I deserve better than this. That wasn't Mary. But look at the next thing here. Verse 28. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, and let me give you a literal Greek translation, Stop fearing, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. This is probably one of those passages of Scripture that has been corrupted beyond any reasonable corruption. I mean, it's that bad. The angel comes and says, Hail, thou art highly, literally, graced. Now remember the theological definition of grace. Unmerited favor. You have been given a whole bunch that you don't deserve. Literally is what he has said. And can you imagine a woman standing there, it wasn't Mary, but someone standing there and saying, What do you mean I don't deserve this? Look at this not-so-world in which I'm living. This immoral world that surrounds me. I've retained my virginity. I am pure. I've labored hard. I've sacrificed a lot. I deserve to be exalted. Then the phrase, blessed art thou among women. Think about this for a minute with me. The word blessed is the word Greek where we get our English word eulogy. Literally means well spoken of. Blessed art thou among women. How many women of that particular day were saying, oh, look at Mary, she's something special? Fact of the matter is, nobody was giving the time of day to Mary. At least, I'm sure there were some, but not in mass. No one was going around doing that. Who in the world was saying, there's a good servant? May I suggest to you that it was God Himself that was saying these things? Because notice it says, blessed art thou, not blessed will be you. Right now. Mary, you are going to be the recipient of much grace, undeserved merit, because God has said, that's one I can work with. Mary, on the other hand, instead of this prideful, arrogant, demanding spirit, was a little afraid of what this salutation was. This doesn't make sense. To which the angel responded, stop fearing. This is good. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Can you imagine someone standing there and saying, now wait just a minute. This is where I draw the line. You're going to ask me to carry a child. I'm going to have to wake up in the morning and not feel well. I'm going to have to watch my diet. I'm going to have to carry around this spare tire for 9 months. I'm going to get cranky. I'm going to get irritable. I'm going to become tired. Then you're going to ask me to go through labor. And they haven't invented epidurals yet. You're going to ask me to do all these things and I don't even get to choose the baby's name. That's where I draw the line. I think I should have a say in what's going on here. Of course, we would never say anything like that to how God does things, do we? But maybe you know somebody who does. Lord, I understand your plan, but let me give you some counsel. Let me tell you, Lord, a better way. It's kind of like Moses when he was out in the wilderness when God was calling him to go back and free his people. And God says to him, Moses, cast down your rod. And it becomes a snake. And the Lord says to him, okay, Moses, pick the thing up. Lord, you're up there. We're down here. There's no snakes in heaven. You don't understand how these things work. And I think Mary could have had her heart been full of pride. But she said, okay, Lord, if you want his name to be Jesus, that's what it'll be. Verse 32, and he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Now, wait a minute, Lord. I like the fact that he's going to be in authority because if he's sitting on the throne, I can be standing here and telling him, giving him my counsel, and I can get things done my way. I like that. But Lord, don't you think if I'm going to do all this work that instead of being called the Son of the Highest, he should be called the Son of Mary? After all, I need some credit in this too, don't I? If I'm going to do all this work for you, shouldn't I get something out of it, Lord? Now, that wasn't Mary either. Verse 34, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this thing be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Hey, that's an interesting plan there you got, God. Now, how are we going to do this? Is this in vitro fertilization? Am I going to be able to do what's normal? Lord, you know, there are other options about this whole thing here that we could try. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed. Handmaid? Well, that's rather demeaning, isn't it, Lord? You know, Lord, if we get somewhere down the road here and I don't like what's going on, do I have the right to abort the issue? Can I make a change in the plans if I see fit? I mean, I'm willing to give it a shot, Lord. But who knows what's going... Well, you know, Lord, what's going to happen. But I don't know. And if I run into trouble and that I can't get out of, Lord, then can I make a change? We want to have that freedom, don't... Well, maybe not you and I, but maybe somebody that we know. We like to have that freedom to go with the flow. And if we become discouraged or whatever, just give up on the whole issue. Not Mary. And she said, Okay, Lord, whatever your will is, I'll do it. Let me ask you a question. During the lifetime of Mary, did she ever receive any great recognition from her peers? Did she ever do other than, and please, ladies, don't get on me. I don't mean this as it sounds. I mean it the other way already. I'm excusing myself. All she ever did was give birth. Don't throw anything. I don't mean to minimize that at all. But she never changed water into wine. She never healed the sick. She never cast out demons. She did what millions upon millions of ladies have done, give birth. And she was a good mother. And in her lifetime, no one ever really said anything special about her, except God. Blessed art thou among women. She suffered the same death that you and I experienced. Some say that she's already been resurrected and ascended in heaven. Nothing could be further from the truth. Some have said that she becomes the co-redemptrix, and because she is full of grace, this salutation here doesn't mean she's full of grace. It means she's been given a lot of grace. She's not the dispenser of it. She's the recipient of it. She's not the one who stands at the side of Jesus and tells him what to do. And while the Scripture says that all of us will reign, who know Christ as Savior, will reign with Him in the millennial kingdom, Mary's no greater off than you and I in that aspect. But she just had a humble heart for God. And God was pleased to fulfill the desire of every woman for 4,000 years in this beautiful little young woman with a humble heart. What can He do through you anything that a humble heart will allow him to do that he desires. Father, we look at the story this morning, and I'm thankful that the reactions that I preached that were not in Scripture were not in Scripture. Unfortunately, Lord, they're found all too often in life. And it's easy for us to sit here this morning and say, yep, I know somebody who fills that quality. When if we're honest with ourselves, it happens all too often in our own lives. We don't want to humble ourselves. We want to exalt ourselves. We want to make a name for ourselves rather than allow you to give us one. Lord, today may we all be Marys and have that beautiful, beautiful heart for the things of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.